Our Old Testament reading this morning comes from the prophet Micah. And be reminded as you hear these words that they were written some 650 to 700 years before the birth of Jesus. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. Therefore, Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor gives birth, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth, and he will be their peace. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Almighty God, we gather humbly in your name, and as we now hear your word proclaimed, we pray that you will speak to us through your Spirit. Help us to hear the words that you would have us hear. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our New Testament reading comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 39 through 55. Mary is visiting her cousin Elizabeth. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers." This is the word of the Lord. When I read those words of Mary's song, the Magnificat, I am reminded of a mother's love, of what she must have been experiencing at that time, in all of the wonderment of the time, and what she knew that she was about. She knew that she was about to become the mother of the Son of God. In this passage, we see Mary expecting the baby Jesus as she goes to visit Elizabeth, who is expecting the baby John, who will grow up to become John the Baptist. Both women are pregnant with significance, for between them they bear the messenger and the message. One bears the prophet who will live in the wilderness, baptizing with water and proclaiming the coming of the Messiah. The other woman, Mary, bears the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit and who will carry the sins of all humanity to the cross in Jerusalem. The Messiah, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. But first, he must be born in humility so he can walk the earth as both fully human and fully God, exposing us to God's grace in all its glory. Mary and Elizabeth encounter each other, and the baby in Elizabeth's womb moves emphatically in the presence of Mary and the child that she is carrying. Elizabeth will become the mother of the prophet who paves the way for the Messiah, and Mary will become the mother of the Son of God. The scene is completely unlikely. The coming of the Messiah who will redeem humanity is anticipated and proclaimed not by archangels or high priests or emperors. Rather, two humble women meet in the hill country of Judea to celebrate their miraculous circumstances. Blessings are shared, astonishment is expressed, and songs are sung. In the women's actions, the world is indeed turned upside down. Hierarchies have been subverted and the mighty have been brought down. Two expectant women carry the future and proclaim the Messiah. This whole passage is a kind of lyrical song on the blessedness of Mary. Nowhere can we better see the paradox of blessedness than in the life of Mary. She was granted the blessedness of being the mother of the Son of God, and certainly her heart was filled with wonderment and awe, a kind of ultimate joy at so great a privilege. Her love for Jesus surely went to the core of her very existence. It was, after all, a mother's love. And yet, that very blessedness was to be the means by which her heart would be broken. That very blessedness meant that someday she would see that son of hers hanging on a cross, innocent of any crime and innocent of any sin. The son she had nurtured and cuddled and loved would one day assume his true purpose for which Mary had given birth. He would die so that his mother and all others who love him and believe in him might have eternal life in the presence of God. So we understand the reason for his birth, and we understand that in Advent we are preparing for his arrival yet again. But as we prepare today to celebrate Christmas, I think it is appropriate to focus for a moment on the love of Mary. She is, after all, a very significant figure in the story of the season. Mary was a poor young woman who probably envisioned her life as being very typical for the culture of the day. She was engaged to be married to Joseph, a carpenter. She would abide by the laws and customs of her Hebrew tradition, and as far as she knew, one day perhaps she would be a loving mother and feel blessed. Clearly, she was not anticipating or prepared for what was about to happen. Mary was visited by the angel Gabriel. That's God's angel. The angel's first words to her were, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." And after hearing of God's plan for her life, Mary's response was one of love, a love for God that was pure and simple. She said, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." The Lord's servant. The translation there is that she loves the Lord and wishes to obey the Lord with all her heart. But she is poor and young and very much the unlikely figure to carry out God's plan. Once again, God chooses to use the unlikely to bring about his grace. Mary was highly favored, and her humility qualified her above all others to be the mother of Jesus. In her visit with Elizabeth, while Mary is carrying the baby in her womb, Elizabeth exclaims, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." And Mary's response should have been predictable. She humbly broke into song, the Magnificat, we call it, where she lovingly proclaims, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant." The key here seems to be the combination of the words humble and servant. Mary was willing to humbly serve the Lord she loved with all her heart. Through her love, she had found favor with God, and she would be an integral part of God's gracious plan to redeem all people. Today, we learn from Mary. Today, we are inspired by a mother's love. Today, we too can proclaim our willingness to be humble servants of God. And as we look to Bethlehem and the birth of the Christ child, let us find joy and significance for our own lives in the words of Mary's song, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant." Jesus, the Son of God, enjoyed a mother's love, the same as hopefully most of us have experienced, and we rejoice. But let us not forget, as we remember the story of Jesus' birth, that there was another player, one who protected Mary from shame, one who played the role of that God had for him, and that is Joseph. Alan Vest will now sing the beautiful words of Joseph's song. Let us pray. Lord, on this holy, holy day, we bow humbly before you as your servants. We thank you, Lord, for the inspiration that we receive every time we think about the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for what we learn from Mary and Joseph about listening to your voice and being humble servants. And Lord, we pray that you will touch each of our lives. Help each of us to live throughout the year with the understanding that we are to be your humble servants and that we are to hold up to the world the joy of knowing Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior. And Lord, during this time, we do turn to you for comfort. We turn to you for comfort for those who grieve. Lord, we pray for the Allen family as they grieve the passing of Janet. We pray that they will feel your presence and that they will be comforted by knowing that Janet indeed was a humble servant of yours. Lord, we lift up Martin Dean, who is in need of your healing. We pray that you will guide the doctors as they seek a way to give him relief from his ailment. Lord, we do pray that he will feel your peace and your comfort. And Lord, we lift up to you all of those who are in need of your presence in their lives. We pray for those who are homeless, those who are hungry, those who are alone in this world. And Lord, we especially pray for those who are unsure of your reality in their lives. We pray that you will give them a sign, speak to them, help them to come to know you as their Lord and Savior. So during this Christmas season, we do pray with joy, with hope, with love, and with peace. Because we know that you are real. We know that you are alive. And we know that you will come again. But today, Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, who is our Lord, the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now let us respond to God's word by returning our gifts to Him.